praise and thanks that we can have this living hope, and that we know that everything the Lord has promised, He will certainly keep. Before we pray, I would like to read three verses from the Holy Scriptures, from Ecclesiastes 3, from verse 11 to 15. Ecclesiastes 3:11. God has made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now, from verse 14, I know that whatsoever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God does it, that men should fear before Him. That which has been is now, and that which is to be has already been, and God requires that which is past. Up to here, these precious and holy words of God. We know and agree with the words, and we can say the same as this preacher. I have recognized that everything God does has eternal validity. And we can say everything He does, everything He has spoken, retains its validity. And no human being is able to change it. But we want to hold on to all that God does and all that God says. Let us hold on to it. We are here today to once again offer Him honor and praise and worship. And I believe He will also bless us if we have come here with an open heart and a longing heart. Then He will give us what we long for. I believe that our desire is only one thing, that we want to become more like Him. Isn't that right, beloved? Yes, and one songwriter sings, Jesus, I want to become like You. That is my wish and also my desire. And I believe that it is the wish and desire of all of us to become more like Him. May He give us grace in this hour. May He bless us. Let us stand up and pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You from the bottom of our hearts for Your grace, for Your faithfulness. We thank You, O God, for Your precious and holy word. And we too can only exclaim with this man of God, I have realized that everything God does has eternal validity. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away from it. And God has arranged it so that we may fear Him. Faithful God, we stand before You, the True One, Your people have come together. We have gathered here in Your marvelous and glorious name of Jesus. And we know, Lord, that Your word is the truth. As Your people, we do not want to add anything, nor do we want to take anything away, but only what You have prepared for us, Lord. This we want to accept and offer You the thanks and the worship for it. Lord, I ask You, bless my brothers, bless the sisters, bless all of us who have come from near and far, Lord. My God, You know the hearts, You know the desire, and You are able to give, O God, what we need. Thank You, Lord, that we expect everything from You, But we also ask you to take everything out of us that stands in your way, every unbelief, every doubt, everything, Lord, that cannot stand before you. Only when we come before you in faith, O God, can you help us, and then you will help us. Worship to your marvelous and glorious name of Jesus. Bless us tonight. Bless my brother. Bless us all. Bless those who could not come, even those who are on holiday. Be with your people, Lord. Bless in the eastern zone. Also those who have sent greetings, bless them for the sake of your holy name. Worship to you. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, the word here from Ecclesiastes 3 is a very serious word. I was thinking today, as I was reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 7, that there really was, is, and will be a time for everything. I'll come to John 7 in a moment. But here in Ecclesiastes 3, it says from verse 1, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. It goes on and on. It continues. There is a time for everything, up to a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Everything has its time. Love and hate, war and peace. This is what we read here in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 8. There is a time for everything. The only question is whether we allow ourselves to be inserted according to God's plan, according to the time in which we now live and have arrived by the grace of God, that we recognize our time, our hour, and what God has prepared for us. We read verse 14, where the man of God confesses, I know that whatsoever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God does it, that men should fear before Him. God has arranged it this way. Everything has its time. And we must not add to or take away from what God does or has said. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 7. Here too, we encounter the phrase, my time has not yet come. But before we get to verse 4, let's start with verse 3. John 7, from verse 3. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Bleiben wir hierbei. Let's stop here for a moment. These were the physical half-brothers of our Lord who spoke to him in this way. They saw what he was doing. Perhaps I should read the word from Luke. Or where is it? Mark or Matthew? Somewhere it is written about the brothers. Matthew chapter 13. Because all those who come from the Roman Church do not know that Jesus also had brothers after the flesh. In Matthew chapter 13 it says, from verse 55, Matthew 13 from verse 55, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then has this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his hometown and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Let's come back to John 7. The suggestion was good. The Lord should not do what he did in secret, not just in front of a few. He should do openly what he did in a small circle. On the one hand, it shows that they were overwhelmed by what they had witnessed and seen. They said to him, if you do these things, show thyself to the world. And before that, they said, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. The point was not that he wanted to show himself to be something. We realize that the wording comes from a human mouth, but it was close to their hearts. But everything had its time. Everything had its hour. And we can go through the entire Old and New Testament. Everything had its time. Everything had its hour. When our Lord was to be born, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And it came to pass that he was born in Bethlehem, because these people had to go up there, all because the hour had come. And with God, everything always fits together. The time, the circumstances, the people, the promises, everything works together with God. With God, things are not far apart. They coincide. When God gave Abraham the promise to lead his people Israel out after 400 years, everything was in place. The time was there. The circumstances were there. The man was there. The message was there. The right hand of the Lord was exalted. Everything was there. Everything came together. That's how we see it over and over again. When the hour of God comes, all things that are in the plan of God come together beautifully. The people, the circumstances, the word of promise, the message, everything that belongs to it comes together in God's time, without our involvement, but with us insofar as we have a part in it. Now, verse 5 says, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." Although they saw everything, but the time had not yet come. Now we read verse 6. "Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. Man thinks that the time is always, but the Lord says, My time has not yet come. Your time is always." We always want to do everything at all times, and nothing happens. But when the hour of God has come, and all the circumstances and all the events in the kingdom of God come together, and then it happens, then it takes place, then nobody needs to help, then we only have one thing left to do: to set out to serve the Lord, to believe and to follow Him. Jesus said, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready." Verse 7, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast." I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. Imagine, on one day, and here may have been 2 or 3 days in between, and then he went. Now he said, "I'm not going up to this feast." His hour was not yet come. The moment was not yet come. He said, "Go ye up unto this feast." I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. What would we have said if we had seen him 3 days later at the feast, and we would have been among the audience when he said, "I am not going up to this feast, for my time is not yet full come"? I read on. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast. What do you say now? Then he also went up. You see, as the Son of Man, he was a prophet. As a prophet, he could only say what applied at that moment. He had to wait for everything to be as it should be when he appeared there in Jerusalem. Within a few days, the time was fulfilled. Beloved, blessed are we if we can learn this lesson thoroughly, that we have the courage to say, "No, my hour has not yet come. I am not going up. You go up." And suddenly, as I said, about 3 days later, he is there, and the hour has come. The unbeliever shakes his head and says, "That's our Lord. Didn't he know?" And so the question could go on and on. That is not the thought we are pursuing today. Today we are pursuing one thought, namely, that the moment of God must be there, the time of God, the hour of God, the circumstances, everything must harmonize and fit together. Only then will the moment have come. We may see some going up to the feast, one here and the other there. And we may say, like those on the sidelines, our time has not yet come. Everyone else is already celebrating. They have marvelous feasts, beautiful meetings, and we are still misunderstood. We don't yet know exactly how things should continue. We feel so human. It seems as if we have no orientation, as if we don't know what to do next. That's not the case. That's not true. We have the orientation. We know what to do next. But we also know that it can only continue with God. And we know that we have to wait for His time and hour. Imagine, our Lord says here, go up. I am not going up. And then it says, when they had gone up, He also went up. Let me read this verse 10 again. But when His brethren were gone up, then went He also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought Him at the feast, and said, where is He? And there was much murmuring among the people concerning Him. For some said, He is a good man. Others said, nay, but He deceiveth the people. Imagine, our Lord. Have you been reading? I didn't read from the newspaper. I read from the Bible. One and the same Lord. Different opinions among the people. And it says, there was much murmuring among the people concerning Him. Somehow those who are being talked about are in the focus. You can't change that. When it was Abraham's turn, he was. Moses, or anyone whom God took, whom He commissioned, whom He sent, whom He made part of His kingdom and plan, became the talk of the day at that time. Now it was the Lord. Before, it was John the Baptist. Some said He is a prophet, others a wild man. After all, He didn't eat and drink. He didn't dress like others. He wore a camel skin. That's how He came on the scene. Here we read about our Lord. And there was a lot of talk about Him among the crowds. I'm sorry. It pains me to read this about my Lord and Savior. What hits me, and rightly so, if you like. However, everything hit Him unjustly, but He stepped into the breach for us. He took our place. He went our way via Gethsemane to Golgotha. He was misunderstood from His birth to His crucifixion. There was a lot of talk about Him. Some said He was a good man. They have probably seen what happened, that the blind received their sight, leprosy was cleansed, that sinners found peace, and that they were blessed, healed, and pardoned. That's why these people said He is a good man. We read on. Others said, no, He deceives the people. Yes, that's how different people's judgments can be. Let me make a remark here. All who are of God recognize in all circumstances what has been sent to them by God. Basically, always. They did not look on the outside, but had an inner connection with God, and they knew what had been given to them. Some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "No, he deceives the people." Think of it this way. Our Lord, the King of Kings, comes to his own, and his own receive him not. He is seen as a stranger in the land, misunderstood in his ministry. It was about the Sabbath, it was about this and about that. And the scribes knew exactly who is circumcised on the Sabbath, that's fine. But when someone's whole body was healed, they got upset. Outwardly pious, but inwardly full of the stench of death, without fellowship and without connection to God. I was touched by this word today. Our Lord said, "My hour, my time has not yet come." He said, "Ye go up, I am not going." And when they left, he went up too. From one day to the next, the situation changed. It will be the same now, without much announcement, without many words. God will fulfill his plan with his people. In the end, things always happen very quickly. Before that, you have to wait a very long time. We know that people have been waiting for the first coming of the Lord since the days of Adam. Around 4,000 years have passed. But when the time came, the things that were written in the Word happened very quickly, one after the other. It will be the same now. Much talk among the people, apart from me, us, or whatever. Even at the time of Brother Branham, spirits separated. Some said, "He is a man sent from God." For no one could do what is happening unless God is with him. And the other said, "No, he is a deceiver, a false teacher. He does not teach the Godhead as we do. He does not baptize as we do." And so it went on. They judged from their point of view and not from the point of view of the Holy Scriptures. You have to look at divine things from above and not from below. That is very important. You have to stand on the divine standpoint, and only then can you see divine things in the divine light and not speak the language of the denominations, but speak the language of God, the language of His Word. The general ministry of praying for the sick and forgiving people could be done in all ways, but here it was about a special event, and our Lord waited until the hour was right. Then he went up, and then the spirits were separated. It says in verse 14, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught." When they have sat 7 days, half of them was over, and now the Lord came into the temple and began to teach. And now comes the astonishment. Verse 15 says, "And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" It's quite nice that they asked like that. Where did this man get the knowledge of the scriptures? He who had spoken every word that the prophets uttered, and that was written down, he the one who spoke and worked, he the Jehovah of the Old Testament, became Jesus in the New Testament. Now the people here ask, how does he know the scriptures? He was the center of all scripture, the center of all prophecy. And they say, he didn't receive any lessons. Yes, not with them. He didn't go to school with them. No, certainly not. Even today, he wouldn't go to them, to a seminary, and study for a few semesters. If he were to go, it would certainly only be to the temple, and when he enters, something will happen. Then it could happen that the tables fall over, and beatings left and right. For his house is still to be a house of prayer, a place where God comes into his own, whether we are lukewarm or sluggish, whatever it may be. But when we come to the service, we come to meet God. We come to hear his word in reverence. We come to be corrected, to be refreshed, to be blessed anew. We can be indifferent anywhere else, but not under the sound of God's word. We come here to hear his word. But in spiritual things, we should not be indifferent anywhere. They marveled at his learning. Verse 16 says, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. Here is the key. He that is of God heareth God's words, and whom God has sent speaks the words of God, and he who is of God hears the word of God. This is a chain reaction. It cannot be separated from one another, and God always sends his word first and activates faith through the word. In his word are the promises, and this faith is anchored in the promises of God. And then we are brought into conformity with God and are prepared to wait for the hour he has planned for certain things. Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Here too he speaks as the Son of Man. After all, during his earthly life, he came on the scene here as the prophet of whom Moses spoke and wrote, a prophet like unto me shall the Lord your God raise up unto you from your brethren. Every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed. You can read about it in the book of Acts, chapter 3. Peter mentions it in his sermon, Acts chapter 3, from verse 21. It says, in reference to Jesus, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. A very serious word. The Jews should have known that the Messiah would be a prophet because Moses said so. They should have known it, It is one of the main promises of the Old Testament. And here is the serious warning. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. O blessed are all those who still hear today what he has said. Not only that we look back and think to ourselves, why didn't they listen back then? Today the Lord speaks the same words to us that he spoke back then. Today we should listen to him in everything he says to us. Not just when it suits us. Not just when it is tailored to our measure, but as it is written here, him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. The day will come when it will be revealed that all those who have not listened to the Lord, who have not obeyed him, will experience their disappointment. God wants obedient children. He wants sons and daughters in whom he delights, who also listen. Anyone who has children knows that nothing is worse than when they don't listen. It is a grief, it is a need. And God wants obedient children who not only listen, but who believe and obey, who do what he has said. Let's go back to the word in the Gospel of John, chapter 7. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. That again is the key to this matter. Even in our day, any discussion is superfluous. There is only one question that remains open and needs to be answered. Are you ready to do the will of God? If so, God will reveal it to you from his word. It simply belongs together. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. First, we must be willing to do the will of God, and then we will receive the teaching that comes from God. We will realize that it is not man, but God who has spoken to us through the mouth of man. But the inner consent must be in us, a yes to God, a yes to his word, a yes to his will, even of all the shortcomings that we are all guilty of. But we look up to God and know that he shows mercy to those who seek and find refuge in him and who are prepared to walk in his ways. Verse 18 says, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. This is still true today. He who speaks from himself seeks his own honor, defends his own teaching, protects his own position. But those who speak from God become part of the divine program, and nothing should be closer to our hearts than to persevere before God in these serious and critical times and say, Faithful Lord, be gracious to us for your name's sake, for your word's sake. We have heard your promises. We are ready to believe you and follow you obediently to the end. And you will see, God will make us realize that we will see everything divinely and understand everything divinely, and not one will need to teach the other. We will all be taught by God, as it is written, "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory." We see this all over the world today. People seek honor from people, pay homage to high-ranking persons in order to receive a little of the honor themselves. But who seeks the honor that comes from God? Who wants to please God? Who is willing to do His will? He will find out whether the message we have heard, whether the word, whether the promises we have been given, whether they are true or not. It will be the same in these days as it was then. Some will say, "The man is all right." Others will say, "He is a deceiver." Who can change it? We stand in the middle, bearers of the divine seed of the word, and have nothing in common what comes from the right and the left. Some hate to the death, others love to the death. Who can change it? Some accept, others reject. These are the ways of God. You can't change them. Let me say it here, because the woman was 92, who hugged and kissed me near Chicago. She said, "Brother Frank, for years we received the literature, but I never expected to see you on earth." And she came up to me and hugged me, this auntie, and expressed her thanks. It made me ashamed. Who are we? We are only bearers of the word. Have we contributed anything to being saved? Who did all this? It is grace, and again grace, and again grace, that we may see, that we may hear, that we are prepared to stand still and say, "Go up, all of you. My hour has not yet come." Outwardly, we would all prefer that we could beat the drum, that we could make lots of music at the festival, but let it be far from us. We have no will of our own and no way of our own. I tell you, the way with God will be lonely. The way with God will be steep. The way with God will be narrow. And this way we want to go. And on it we will reach the destination. And if we are among those who are prepared to do His will, we will also realize whether this doctrine has come from God in our day. And then every question will be answered, not by man, but by God. And here too we see how our Lord said, "My time has not yet come." Then we read about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up. Before that He said, "I'm not going." When the half was over, He came, and the people were amazed at His teaching. He who was sent from God seeks the glory of God, and His words are true, and there is no unrighteousness in Him until this day. Is that so? It has been from the beginning and will remain to the end. The Word of God may flow through earthly channels, through wretched vessels. But I say it again, as I emphasized at the beginning, it is not the vessel that is earthly, but the seed of God, the Word that we carry, that matters. And all the prophets, apart from Enoch and Elijah, went the earthly way, and their bodies were given over to the dust from which they came, but the word they carried has been left to us as the noble divine seed. We are not here to give honor to vessels, but to the living God, who has kept his word pure and holy for us to this day. In my judgment, this is one of the greatest things that could ever happen, that God could make us silent in this absolutely lost and confused time, and that we were allowed to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. That is a very great grace. We would have traveled on any ship, jumped on any train. Everyone wants to come along somehow, but by the grace of God, we remain silent until the hour of God struck. I know when it struck for me, you know when it struck for you. Among all the influence that came from the right and the left, you realized that this message comes from God, that this doctrine comes from God, that a man sent from God appeared in our days, and there are very many who say, Jesus is enough for me. Oh, if only they had him, then they would also have his word, then they would also have his promises. Yes, then that would match. Nothing is worse than Pharisaism, because they are deceived twice, not just once. The real atheists will not be disappointed at all, because they do not believe in God or in heaven. If they are not in heaven and not with God, it cannot be a great disappointment for them. But all those who were expecting it and then are not there, God wants to speak to us today. Today he wants to make it clear to us that we are in his plan and that we cannot do what we want and when we want, that we have to wait and see. Even if everything is running smoothly and all are celebrating, we have to wait until God's hour has come. It is not easy. Think of Brother Branham, how he waited and how things had to come to pass until the hour of God had struck. I was reading in the first seal today how God had arranged everything so wonderfully. And there he says, I would have made a great mistake today if the Spirit of God had not come down into the room at about 12 o'clock and revealed it to me. A man of God, who had also read other commentaries, he wanted to say something about the first seal that did not correspond with the revelation. And then he says, at about 12 o'clock it happened. It was revealed to me. Beloved, he too was only human. He could not say anything until God revealed it to him. That too will always remain true. There are people who say, but Brother Branham said this here, and he said that there. Yes, then take John 7, where the Lord said, I will not go up, you go up. And then, 3 days later, he's already on his way, and is already there. It can happen that in the sermons over the years, new light and new clarity in the Word of God has been given again and again. It didn't all come at once, but with God's help, we can move forward. Who are we dealing with? What is it all about? There is a division right through the middle of the people, a split. Some say, it's all right. Others say, it's wrong. Where do you stand? Where do I stand? If you stand with God, then you stand on his word. Then you believe his promises. Then you are united with God in the Holy Spirit. If this is not the case, then you believe in a human doctrine that must lead to disappointment at some point. He who speaks from himself seeks his own honor. Let us forget our honor. Paul probably writes to the Corinthians under honor and dishonor, as deceivers and yet true. You all know this scripture from the letter to the Corinthians. Here the Lord is speaking today through a very practical example to you and to me. He wants to let us know and says, My people, I have my way with you. I've put my word and my spirit in your hearts. Wait and see. Everything must fit together. The circumstances, the time, the promises, the ministry, the development. But when the time is fulfilled, then there will be no more delay. Then things will all happen, one after the other. Then we will not push them. Then we will be pulled and pushed. And we will be right in the middle of it, seeing and marveling at what God is doing. May the Lord bless us. Do you realize now that it was the Spirit of God? Brother Rus read Ecclesiastes 3. To everything there is a time. To be born, to die, to laugh, to weep, and. Everything has its time. Sowing and reaping, everything has its time. Here the Lord has spoken. My time has not yet come. Everything has its time in the kingdom of God. John had his time and his ministry. The Lord had his time, his ministry. Everything that was written on him happened through him. The apostles and the church, everything has its time. And we too have recognized the time in which we live by grace. Oh, that we would realize now that even in this time, we can't just do what we want and when we want and not let ourselves be pushed and say, go now and do now. No, my time has not yet come. You go, you do, I'll stay here. That even if you have already recognized the will of God and know at least this much about what God will do, you can still wait until the hour strikes. It's easy the other way around. From a human point of view, it is easier if you can follow all paths everywhere and all things move. But it becomes difficult when you want to walk in harmony with God. Then it can happen that even people don't understand you. Yes, I want to tell you the truth. A man of God will not understand himself in the end. He will just say, My God, why does it have to be this way or that way? There will be no one who can understand himself or others in the last consequence. But we can say one thing, as it is written here, if anyone wants to do the will of God, he will come to realize that this doctrine is of God. A word of prophecy for this prophetic age. But even now, we still have to keep in step with God, to persevere until the hour for certain developments and events has come. And then there is still time, namely when the hour of God strikes. Then the time has come for you and for me. Your time is always, said the Lord, but my hour has not yet come. You go up, I will stay here. And then he also went up when his hour had come. Beloved, the hour of God will strike for the final events. God has spoken it. It remains eternally true. Here it is written, God made the covenant with us on Golgotha, and every promise is yes and amen. There is consent in our hearts. O Lord, how faithful, how gracious you are. You brought us to rest in yourself, revealed your word to us, and have now made your will known. and He will take us under the guidance of His Spirit, so that in His time, according to His word, in His will, we will do what He wants done. Or even better said, that we let Him do what He has set out to do when His hour has come. May the Lord comfort, strengthen, fortify, and establish us through this lesson, so that we can go forward in faith and confidence, knowing that the same Lord is among us. He is carrying out His plan to the end, and by grace we may have a part in it. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord for His precious word. I don't know about you, but I can only say amen to every word we have heard. It was so powerful, so great, so marvelous. We see that God does what He wants. No man can push Him. No man can tell Him what to do. Although people try to push Him, He won't let them push Him. He does His will only when He has predetermined it. Oh, how wonderful! It is so precious. In His time, His will is done. Not when people want it. Not when you and I want it. Beloved, it is only grace when we can recognize that God really works when He wants, and that we do not let ourselves be deceived. We see that in the days of our Lord, the very words we have read here from Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, have been fulfilled, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And they couldn't see through the work of God. And the same, beloved, is still the case in our day. No one is able to see through the work of God. If it were possible that people could see through it, then things would be different, beloved. Then they would be silent and say, Lord, Thy will be done, not as we want. That's the thing. And that became so great to me. Our Lord Himself was subordinate. He Himself could not do it when He wanted, but when the hour was right. How wonderful, how marvelous. That was so precious to me tonight. I think for all of us, beloved, God's word is so precious. And I think we all want to take with us in this hour what God wanted to give us tonight. Oh, may it have penetrated our hearts. May we not start pushing God and pressurizing Him. God will not be pushed. No, no, God does when He wants. And everything must be silent. We stopped wanting to do something a long time ago. We can't do anything, beloved, unless God does it. And how often do we see it with our beloved Brother Branham? People wanted to push him, wanted to buy him, wanted to tell him when to do what. And all he could say was, I know, it's the devil. He said that literally. We probably read it here recently. But you know, we want to stick to His word and to the message that God has given for our time. And if there are people today who might accuse us of only reading from the sermons and sticking to the scriptures, beloved, God has given them to us so that we can stick to them, so that we don't miss the path to glory, beloved. Others are annoyed by this and may think so much of themselves that they no longer need it. We can say we need it. We must have it. It is the food for the eagles in these days. Has God given it for these days? Oh, how many times Brother Brahim said, if I shouldn't be here anymore, then you've got the food, then you can read or listen to the tapes. And I tell you, they are new to me every day and more powerful every day. Yes, and that must become something in us, beloved. When people think of themselves, they no longer need it, well, then it's over for them. But for us, beloved, it is there. And we can only thank God that He has sustained us with this food. And we want to remain with this food. And we know that because of this food, we will reach the goal. We don't want anything else. This is enough for us, what God has given us by grace. Beloved, let us come to a close. I didn't really want to say anything, but my heart is so moved. I'm so happy and so grateful for the words. It may seem so small, but God has something big to say to us through this. Something very special, beloved. That is exactly what we need these days. Not that we might start to say, huh, when does God do this and when does God do that and why doesn't it go on? Let's stop all these thoughts. Let us serve God in devout reverence and God will continue to do what He has set out to do. Praise be to His name. Amen. Let us rise and give thanks to the Lord. Heavenly Father, from the bottom of my heart, I thank You for Your precious and holy word. I thank You for the guidance of Your Holy Spirit. Everything has its time. Everything has its hour. You have the circumstances. You have the people, the promises. You have always arranged everything wonderfully. Faithful Lord, we are here before Your holy face. We want to do Your will. Help us to do it and have mercy on us. We want to walk in step with You to the end, in conformity with Your word. Beloved Lord, I thank You for this scripture. It comforts me, it strengthens me. And I thank You that You will let the time come for the things that are yet to come and that the hour will strike. Oh, when the moment comes, the mouth will be full of laughter, the tongue full of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faithful Lord, You are marvelous. You are still the same today. You still speak today through Your word and through Your Holy Spirit. In complete clarity, in complete truth, You have spoken to Your people. You have made Your will known. You have laid out Your plan. Lord, what can we say? We thank You. We praise You. We worship You. May the blood, the word and the spirit work powerfully in us so that we are in complete agreement with You. Hallelujah. O Lord, there is a time for everything, for the message and the fulfillment of what You have promised. Thank You that You have strengthened, comforted, and established us. To You, the Almighty God, be praise and honor, glory and worship, forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen.